Professor Paul. Got your Bibles with you. Can you turn to Ephesians chapter 4? We have been looking since Paul finished his series in the early chapters of Acts chapter 1 by looking at various truths in the scriptures about the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just going through some of these verses in Ephesians chapter 4. And particularly I want you to look at verse 30 of that chapter, where it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Today I want to talk about the Spirit's pleasure and the Spirit's pain. It may seem strange to some to think of the Holy Spirit as experiencing pleasure and pain. But why is it strange? He's a person. Whenever the scriptures refer to the Spirit, it's always He. It's always a person. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a person. Even before the incarnation, He was a person. And after the incarnation, He was a person. A lot of things had changed from His pre-existent state, if you like. That's the wrong word, but He was still a person. He could think. He experienced joy. He experienced sorrow. He experienced anger. He experienced astonishment. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is just Jesus' other self. Verse 30 is very clear. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We could look at that in the positive way, obviously. To not grieve the Holy Spirit of God is the negative way of saying, please the Holy Spirit of God. Bring pleasure to the Holy Spirit. Bring joy into his experience of himself, if you like. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So let's look for a second at bringing the Spirit pleasure. If that word pleasure, grates on your mind, think of it as pleasing the Spirit. How do we please the Spirit? Well, here we just have to think of Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. All those things don't just please Him in an objective kind of sense that these are these things and so if we live this way we'll please the Spirit. These things are the Spirit. These things are the fruit of the Spirit. You can't separate, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control from the Spirit. They flow forth from Him, and in our lives they flow forth out of us. And obviously, as those are the fruit that's growing in our persons, and when you think about all of those things, they're all personal characteristics, aren't they? They're not achievements in that sense. They're not projects. They're not work. They're not, but they're personal characteristics. The fruit of the Spirit. We talked a few weeks ago of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the things that He empowers us to do. But the fruit of the Spirit is the kind of people that the Holy Spirit empowers us to be. And being is always more important than doing. Not so much because doing is not important, but the order is important. You know, the horse before the cart rather than the cart before the horse. Because the being then dictates how the doing takes place and why the doing is taking place and what the motives for the doing is taking place. Being in those personal characteristics of our life. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 is what we started with. It's talking there about walking in the Spirit. Walking no longer just as the Gentiles walk. Well, how do the Gentiles walk? The Gentiles walk without the Spirit. The Gentiles walk in their own strength and in their own wisdom and in their own personal characteristics. It goes on to describe that not so much as a, in a sense, as a put down, but those next few verses really just as a statement of fact. Repent, said Peter, on the day of Pentecost, and be baptized, and you shall receive the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 22 talks about, in reference to your former manner of life, that was before the Spirit comes into us, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So the Holy Spirit's purpose is to recreate us into Christ-like people, and so that's where he gets his pleasure from. And the next verse starts with a therefore, verse 25. And when you see a therefore, you always look at what it's there for. And it's there for what's gone before, therefore. You know, as a result of verses 22 to 24. So now this looks like, you know, therefore, verse 25, laying aside falsehood, speak truth to each one of you with his neighbour. Sorry, speak truth each one of you with his neighbour. For we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. And into verse 27. So speaking the truth is just one of the therefores that happen as we allow the Spirit to have his way and therefore bring pleasure to him. Honesty is holiness having cleared its throat. Speak the truth to everyone, but it picks up there with our neighbour. So it's not just we are one kind of person to brothers and sisters in the Lord on Sunday and something else to our neighbour or our work colleague or people in the community. We are the same. Therefore, speak the truth, every one of you, with your neighbour, with our neighbour. So in our business, in our community. Sometimes speaking the truth, though, is not easy. Sometimes people don't like hearing the truth. Sometimes the truth has to be spoken even when we don't want to speak it. With injustice, Paul's talked a lot about, or not talked a lot, he was praying about that, and we all resonate with that. In the world that we live, if it was an ideal world, all of us could speak truth, and everyone would see it as truth, and then it would be okay. But to call out injustice sometimes means that our spirit, the Spirit has to stir up our spirit to such an extent that we, the desire to speak the truth for justice's sake is greater than our fear of hurting someone or being misunderstood or whatever it might be. In other words, sometimes being honest means being angry. And he says that, doesn't he, in verse 26. In your anger, if there is anger, and it's a passage, it's from the Old Testament as well. Jesus was angry on several occasions, it's written about in the scriptures. So, even here, we need to be very careful. We need to be realizing that even though in the moment the Spirit is pleased for someone to stand up and to speak up for the homeless or to speak up for the widows or the orphans, as it's sort of characterized there in the Old Testament, because there's nobody else that was speaking up for them. And the believers were intended to be those people that would be a voice to those who have no voice. And there's lots of ways and situations where we're in that. And that's a good thing, and the Spirit is pleased with that. But, oh, we walk such a close line because we're so human. And in our anger, we so often sin. The anger becomes directed out of our own personal hurt rather than of the injustice that we are hurt about. So, be angry yet do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. That anger needs to be brought. It's a hot coal, and it needs to be dealt with, you know, with the mittens of the Holy Spirit, if you like. So we don't hurt ourselves in the process, but also hurt others in the midst of that. But we need to be sensible and recognize the difference between sinning by being angry and feeling bad because the person that we may have to spoke up to reacts badly to what we're saying because they're challenged by that. Can you see what I mean? It's in there. A lot of us will never speak up because we don't want to hurt anyone. We'll never defend that person in a conversation because we don't want to lose the friendship with the other people in the conversation or whatever it might be. That's a real issue for us, I think, as Christians. Trying to work out how to be gracious and also how to be truthful. And this is why we need the Holy Spirit so much, to help us in those sensitivities in that area. Be angry and yet be careful, in other words, he's saying in that verse 26. Then in verse 28, he's talking about something very down to earth, not very spiritual at all. Don't steal. If you've got the King James Version, you need to read that very carefully. In the King James Version, it says, "He who steals, steal. No more let him work." If your punctuation's in the wrong place. So what he's saying at all is that he who steals must steal no longer. So, you know, we talk about, you know, spirituality sometimes, or we talk about, you know, being a spiritual person, you know, and we see that sometimes in all the, not wrong areas, but just one little side of that. And, you know, someone can be stealing looks at other people who are not their wife in a cafe. Could be stealing honour that belongs to someone else by allowing a false perception to be allowed. There's lots of ways that we steal or can steal. But even the most obvious ways, stealing from the boss, putting the pens in our pocket and cribbing here or cribbing there or whatever, it's all stealing. It all comes back in the end to not being content in God in the end, doesn't it? And coveting in lots of little ways or big ways, it's all still the same. So basically that verse 28 is talking about everyday life, working hard and being generous, because that's what it goes, doesn't it? Labour, performing with your own hands what is good, so that you'll have something to share with one who has a need. So that's where we bring the spirit pleasure, not in the great sermons we preach or the songs we sing or the great big thises or that. It's in the everyday, ordinary situations of life. Everyday conversation, verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification. It means to build someone up, to leave them a better person. But again, you think about our marriages. There are times when we need to confront each other, to leave the husband in a better place. May have required the wife to say, now look, you know, when you look at me like that, or when you say that, or when you are curt with me like that, that makes me feel like this. And I don't know about you, but when that happens to me, I feel bad. And I initially want to defend myself. Say, no. You got it all wrong. You can't have feelings wrong, though, can you? When you're feeling hurt, or when you're feeling, you know, as if your loved one has, you know, overlooked you or something like that. So again, we need to be careful about this, edifying. It's a messy area. It's why we need the Holy Spirit. It's why Christian marriages are still marriages of two people. There's still issues and struggles and battles and all of that sort of stuff, but they should be different to those who don't have the Spirit. They should be different. And they are, if we let the Spirit have his way in our hearts. Another way of looking at that word edification is life-giving. You know, and I think I said something about the newsletter. Was it today or was it last week? And I think I got the guy's name wrong, Waldorf and Schuster. If you know the Muppets, anyway, it's those two old dudes that sit up on the thing and grizzle. As I'm getting old, I'm finding I'm a, you know, that's an issue. Settler and Waldorf. Statler and Waldorf. Something like that. Okay. And then verse 32 talks about bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and then about being kind to one another. So that's bringing the Spirit pleasure. If we look at bringing the Spirit pain, well, we just see that it's tucked into all of those verses as well, isn't it? The other way of thinking about bringing the Spirit pain is to displeasing the Spirit. And it's obvious. Jesus in Mark chapter 3 looked around at the people's hardness of heart, it says, and it so grieved Jesus that he looked at them in anger at their hardness of heart. So in the same sense that Jesus can be grieved, so also the Spirit can be grieved, and in so we bring him pain. And if we look down at those verses that we've just all gone through, there's all the other side of that that are very clear. We just don't want to bring him pain. We want to please him. Because he's God. So just to finish, what that just means at the end of the day for all of us as we live the Christian life is that we choose. We choose whether it's pleasure or pain. There is nothing automatic when we follow Jesus. We are walking with Jesus, even in that metaphor or that use of the word walking. He's not doing the walking for us. We are walking with him. We don't hand over our will to God and just let him do it in some sort of automatic way. Walking with Jesus is willing ourselves to obey each step along this gospel road that we're walking on. Verse 30 says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It's not about being a Christian sometimes throughout the day and then not being a Christian when we are this way or that way. We are a Christian. Christ in one. That's never going to change. In the Holy Spirit, we were sealed until the day of redemption. Just flip back to the book before, Galatians 5:25. You know, the one that talks about the fruit of the Spirit as against the works of the flesh. In the context of that whole thing of the fruit of the Spirit, it says down there in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So there's the distinction in a sense. We live by the Spirit. That's the Spirit's work in us, the living, the regeneration. Our work in that is to walk in the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, verse 26, challenging one another or envying one another. It's not about whether someone else is walking in the Spirit or whether they aren't, or whether I'm not as good as them because I'm not walking in the Spirit as much as them. It's not about that. It's about each of us taking responsibility for our own life and our own walk. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. And of course, we have to say about the choosing that we sometimes choose the wrong way. None of us can claim to be perfect. That means that none of us will never grieve the Spirit. We will. So if we think something or say something or do something which grieves the Spirit, admit it quickly. That's what the scripture says. 1 John 1:9. If we have thought something or said something or done something which grieves the Spirit and we don't admit it quickly, and if we deny it, then we're actually grieving the Spirit even more. That's this whole point of the church trying to sidestep or step aside from responsibility for some things that have happened in the past. And it's exactly the same in each of our lives. We are tempted to do that all the time. It's one thing to grieve the Spirit, but because we're human, we will. It's another thing, though, to then deny that we've grieved the Spirit. Because that's actually part of what the unpardonable sin is, to resist the Spirit that's working in our life. The Spirit convicts us of sin, not so that we can deny it, but so that we can acknowledge it and confess it and be cleansed and walk on in joy and peace with the Father. If we live by the Spirit, let's also walk by the Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is altogether personal. He brings Jesus closer to us than we are to ourselves. I think that's life. That's a Christian thing, to understand that in the whole length of our life, that Jesus is so present in us, more present than we can probably ever understand until we get to the life to come. We walk and we talk with him. We live in him. We are in total dependence upon him. How we live in the everydayness of our lives, it depends on how pleasing we are to him. Because when we live by the Spirit, we are supernaturally living. And that life looks like the fruit of the Spirit. When we're living by self, and it's possible for us to, we are merely natural living. And what does that look like? Well, that looks like the Galatians earlier, 5, the flesh, the works of the flesh. Live by the Spirit, day by day, step by step, breath by breath, heartbeat by heartbeat. Loving Heavenly Father, we throw ourselves before you, knowing that you know the truth. We don't come to claim anything. We come to celebrate the fact that it was while we were yet sinners that Christ died for us. And we come, loving Heavenly Father, to acknowledge also the fact that you have promised that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. And so, loving Heavenly Father, here we are. We pray that as we open ourselves to you, not just in this moment, but in the melting moments and the hard moments, every moment that we live along the way, that you'll help us to just breathe, as it were, in the Spirit. Out our poisonousness and breathe in your purity and your love. Not just once a day, but every breath we take. For only then, Father, can we live a life that glorifies you. And that is our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Last song we're going to have is Ascribe Greatness.